We're going to be looking at a couple of places in the scripture. I'd ask you first to go to Proverbs 13, verse 15 in one hand, and then get Matthew 11, and we'll look at verses 28 to 30 in the other hand. But before we begin, as always, let's talk with God. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for your tender mercies, for your faithfulness, for your grace. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Father, we pray now as we open up thy word, thy holy word, the King James Bible. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would be our guide and teacher. Father, teach us something. Show us something that we need to know and understand to live our lives that are pleasing in thy sight. Father, I just pray that you'd give me thy words, thy holy words to speak today. I pray that if there's a lost one that's never asked Jesus Christ to save them, that this would be the very day that they would. And Father, we just pray for the saints of God that may be listening, that you'd edify and strengthen them through thy word. Father, we just thank you and praise you for all of these things, and it's in your Son Jesus' precious name we pray and we give thanks. Amen and amen. Alrighty, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. The Bible says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. But the way of transgressors is hard. Now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 11. In verses 28 to 30, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What we want to get the idea or is that I want you to remember now, in Proverbs 13:15, it says, but the way of transgressors is hard. And then we see in Matthew chapter 11, and verse number 30, Jesus tells us, for my yoke is easy. I've entitled today's study, The Hard Way or the Easy Way. And what we want to do in our study today is to contrast between living a life for the Lord in living a life of sin. Again, Proverbs 13:15 tells us the way of transgressors is hard. A transgressor is someone who breaks a law. In Proverbs 13:15, the transgressor here means someone who's broken God's law, amen, or breaks God's law. Or simply put, a sinner. A person's a sinner when they break one of God's laws. In the Bible, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible tells us, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So we see that sin is the transgression of the law. Amen. Again, Proverbs 13:15 tells us the way or the life of the sinner is hard. And in fact, Isaiah in chapter 57 in verses 20 to 21 reminds us about the life of the wicked or the sinner. Isaiah says in Isaiah 57, verses 20 to 21, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The life of the sinner is one of constant turmoil. No peace, always trouble. Just ask the family of a drunk what their life is like. Just ask the family of a doper what their life is like. Ask the wife of a husband who was unfaithful to her what her life is like. Let me tell you, my daddy was a drunkard. And let me tell you, my life was hard growing up. Amen. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 18, one sinner destroyeth much good. Now contrast with this of the life of a person who trusts in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, the Bible tells us, of one who trusts in the Lord, the Bible tells us, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace is promised, my dear friend, if you trust in the Lord. So what we want to do as we begin here is we want to look at a couple of Bible examples of transgressors and how their lives were hard because they transgressed the law or laws of God. Amen. The first Bible example I want to look at is Lot. Now Lot was a nephew of a godly man, a man who was called the friend of God. I'm talking about Abraham, amen? And one day Lot was given a choice where he and his family would live. And we see the account of this found over in Genesis chapter 13. In verses 10 through 13. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. See, first he lifted up his eyes. You know, he satisfied the lust of the eyes. He saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. He says, that's for me. Amen. Then chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one for another. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom, we're told, were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So Lot chose the wicked city, amen, of Sodom to bring up his family. And what we're going to see from that point on, after Lot separated from his godly uncle Abraham, that Lot's life, or Lot's lot in life, amen, became hard. Again, we're reminded of the Bible truth of Proverbs 13:15, that the way of transgressors is hard. In fact, in the next chapter of Genesis, chapter 14, we see there's a battle. Notice what happens to Lot and his family in verses 11 to 12 of Genesis 14. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. So we see that there was a battle against Sodom, against Gomorrah. And we see because Lot was now part of that city, he and his family and all that he owned were captured. Amen. And what we're going to see that it took Lot's godly uncle Abraham to rescue him. Look at again in Genesis 14, verses 13 through 16. We read, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the woman also, and the people. So we see it took godly Abraham, amen, to rescue Lot and his family. And this is just the beginning, amen. This is just the beginning of Lot's trouble. The Lord tells us that he goes down and he tells Abraham that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their great wickedness. And then we see in Genesis chapter 19 that the Lord sends two angels to warn Lot of the impending destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what we find is that Lot was really joined up, as they use the cliche, joined to the hip. He was really joined up with the inhabitants of Sodom, because in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, we read that the two angels find Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom. Now, we know that only rulers, judges, or persons of prominence were allowed to sit in the gate of that city. So Lot had been living in sin, he's joined himself up with that the people, amen, of that city. He became a man of great prominence. Maybe he was a judge or a ruler of some sort, amen. But we see that he had a poor testimony. Lot had been living in sin. He was backslidden. He had a poor testimony, not only to those around him, but to his family. Amen. Because when he goes, we see, for example, when he goes to warn his sons-in-laws, there in Genesis chapter 19, we want to notice their response. Genesis 19:14, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." In other words, when he came to warn his sons-in-law, amen, they mocked him. They made fun of him. They probably said to Lot, "What's going on, man? All of a sudden you got religion or something? All this talk about judgment? Oh, beat it, man. Get out of here." In fact, the day, the place was beat or destroyed, amen, we see Lot and his family lingering. Lingering. We're told this in Genesis chapter 19 and verses 15 through 16. We're told, "And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife, and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city." See, they had to drag him and his family, kicking and screaming, amen, or they would have been destroyed. They had Lot in them. Lot had Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. He didn't want to leave the place. Amen. That's a picture, I believe, of this going to be when the rapture comes. Amen. There's going to be some Christians down here that don't want to live this old world because they've been living like Lot and his family. Amen. They've been living for the world, the flesh, and the devil, and not for the Lord. They barely escape. Amen. But notice, Mrs. Lot, what she did. In verse 26 of Genesis 19, we're told, "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." In other words, you could take Mrs. Lot out of Sodom, but you could not take Sodom out of Mrs. Lot, amen? That's how a lot of Christians are today, amen? You can't take that old world out of them. Amen. And we see Lot. He ends up in a cave drunk. And he commits incest with his two daughters. And this is all recorded in Genesis chapter 19 in verses 30 to 38. And we see, as a result of this incestuous encounter, that the Moabites and Ammonites, who were going to be future enemies of the nation of Israel, have their beginning. Because the offspring, amen, from each daughter, one offspring was the beginning of the Ammonites, and the other offspring was the beginning of the Moabites. See, Lot had a choice way back when. When he and his uncle separated, when they had to choose where they're going to live. Lot had a choice. Live a life for God or live a life of sin. And he chose sin. And the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. My dear friend, listening today, I'm going to tell you right now, hey, praise God, if you're saved, you're born again, you're going to heaven. But let me tell you, if you choose to live a life of sin, a backslidden life, the Bible isn't going to change. Your way is going to be hard. Because the way of the transgressors is hard. And it's not going to change. The Bible doesn't change. So be forewarned, my friend. Be forewarned. Then we have the case of Samson. He was separated for the Lord's service in his mother's womb, according to Judges 13. He was to be a Nazarite. In other words, he was not to drink strong drink or wine. He was not to touch any unclean thing, and he was not to cut his hair. But one day, Samson leaves home to check out the unsaved woman. And he goes down to Timnath, amongst the daughters of the Philistine. And he sees one there that he doesn't love, he lusts after. Amen. He says that she pleaseth him well. And his father reminds him and says, wait a minute. We've got plenty of women here amongst the brethren, amongst the saved that you can choose from. Why do you need to choose from the uncircumcised Philistines, or the unsaved, in other words? But he didn't care. He saw something, and he lusted after her, amen? Told his father that it pleases me well, the woman that I see. We already know the rest of the story, but we're going to go through it. Because he, instead of choosing a life of living for the Lord, like he was separated from his in his mother's womb, no, he's choosing a life of sin. So his life's going to be hard. And it certainly was. Samson ends up marrying the unsaved woman. The marriage lasts about 7 days, and then he leaves her. He decides to come back and get things back together and make up with his wife, but his father-in-law has already given his wife to one of his friends, or one of his companions. And we see from his life just gets worse after that. He lives a life of sin. Judges 16:1, we told that, then went Samson to Gaza, saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. Amen. He was fooling around with prostitutes, amen? He was down the combat zone every night. Then we see that Samson meets up with Delilah. In Judges 16, verse 4, and we're told, and it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And we know the rest of the story, amen? He finds out the secret of his strength. He gets a haircut, amen? And as a result of his life of sin, we see him hit rock bottom. We find Samson at his lowest as a result of living a life of sin. In Judges 16, verse 21, we find Samson blinded, binded, and grinding in the prison house. Amen. We're told, but the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters and brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Then we see Finally, Samson kills himself along with the Philistines. He asks God for one little bit more moment of strength, amen, as they have him binded there in the prison house, and he puts his hand against one hand on one pillar, one hand on another pillar, and he brings literally the house down. But we see, as a result of his decision to live a life of sin, we see the Bible tells us the way of transgress is his heart. In fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, Samson, when he started out in life, probably thought his way was the right way. Amen? But he found out, and it was too late, that his way, the end thereof, are the ways of death. Because the Bible doesn't change. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in Galatians 6, chapter 6, verses 7 to 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But we see Lot and Samson sow to the flesh, and both reaped corruption. Again, my friend, the scriptures remind us the way of transgressors is hard. Now we want to contrast this with what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now yoke speaks of servitude. In other words, what Jesus is saying or telling us, serving me, living for me, is easy compared to living a life of sin, amen? We see according to the Word of God that living for God is easy, and living a life of sin is hard. Now, Paul the Apostle suffered greatly for God. He knew what it was to be a transgressor. He knew that his life before he got saved was a hard one. In fact, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So he knew what his life was, that it was hard, that he was a transgressor, and that he was a sinner. And he knew the difference now from when he lived that life of sin to the life now that he was living for the Lord. Despite all his sufferings and all the persecution that he went through, and we want to notice the statement or statements of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I encourage you to read that. He summarizes all his sufferings. How he was beaten, how he was shipwrecked, how he had the care of all the churches on him, how he was persecuted by his own kind. He went on and on and on. And he lists his sufferings. But he concludes his statement by saying this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 30 to 31. After he goes down and he tells us all that he suffered and all he went through, he says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Remember, this is a man that's speaking that was once stoned, and they left him for dead on the road. Amen. Then we read that he got up and he went back in that city and continued to preach. Amen. In the next chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul asked the Lord three times to take away a thorn or an infirmity in his flesh. The Lord gives him an answer, and it wasn't probably the answer that Paul wanted to hear, but the Lord basically answers Paul by saying no. You're going to have to depend. I'm not going to take away that infirmity, that thorn in the flesh. You're going to have to depend on my grace to get you through this life. And Paul says in reply to God's answer in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 9 to 10, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He knew that when he physically was at his weakest, then he spiritually was at his strongest, amen? And the Lord could really use him. Why was Paul always praising God for his afflictions? Because Paul knew something, as evidenced by what Paul declared in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, Paul knew, no matter what the devil threw at him, it was still easier living for God than for sin. See, that's why Paul could come down to the end of his life, to the end of his days, and proclaim with assurance in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. My dear friend, remember, never let the devil tell you that it's better living a life of sin instead of living for the Lord, because it's a bold-faced lie. Remember what Jesus said about the devil. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44, he said, ye are your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. The devil is the father of lies. Christian, remember, the Word of God says, the way of transgressors is hard. But as Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Which way do you want? The easy way or the hard way for your life? It's your choice. We're told in Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction, talking about Moses, with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Psalm 16:11 tells us, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. My dear friend, which would you rather enjoy? The pleasures of sin for a season, the hard way, or enjoy the pleasures of the Lord forevermore, the easy way? The choice is yours. Well, that's all the time we have today on the Pastor Study. Brother Gino Cassieri, again, thanking each and one of you for joining me. May God richly bless you is my prayer. Until we meet again on the Pastor's Study, good day.